know, this question, who am I? It's a very important and, in my opinion, the most relevant question. You know, you're sitting in the meditation and then asking that question, who am I? And all of a sudden you start thinking, am I this body? Or this thing that is sitting right now, that is meditating? You know, this body that's breathing? I am that. Maybe I am that. Or am I that? Right? You are contemplating. Then you realize, oh, this body, you know, this breath, it's coming and going on its own accord. If I try to stop the breath, it's something else wants to breathe, right? So maybe it's not me. I'm just trying to explain the process I went through, and it's, you know, so it will may not be very clear, but this is what kind of happened to me. And so then you're thinking, oh, this heart, you know, it's beating. Am I beating the heart? You know, seems to do it this stuff on its own, right? So maybe I'm not this body, you know. So you're contemplating, and then, oh, you know, this body, 10 years ago it was smaller, you know. So was that I 10 years ago, 5 foot tall? Or am I this I, which is 5'11" tall, you know? Or this body was just a foot long many years ago, 45 years ago. Was that I, you know? Who am I? You see, the contemplation is going on. Oh, I'm not this body. Because I cannot be that one footer, and I also cannot be this 5'11", right? There's no fixed entity here. You know, there's no fixity here. There's no unchanging individuality here, you know? Oh, maybe I'm not this body, see? Who am I? And then the thought arises, oh, some calls this body father, some calls it husband, you know, some calls it brother, some say teacher, some say engineer, you know. Am I the brother or the father or the son or the engineer or the teacher, you know? How can this one thing be so many? Oh, there is no unchanging individuality here. There is no fixity here. You know? This body can't be I, the unchanging, the underlying I. If this body was the I, then everybody would have identified it the same way, right? But it's being identified as father, it's being identified as son, so on and so forth. Who am I? You know, it's continuing the contemplation. Maybe I'm the mind, right? By now you're okay with, you know, kind of at least temporarily thinking or understanding that, oh, there is some possibility I'm not this body, you know. Maybe I'm the mind, you know, that maybe I'm that which is feeling this body, you see. Oh, this weight in the body, you know, this touch of the breath. Or maybe that something that is feeling is what I am. I'm the mind, that which feels. Am I that? Am I this? Oh, there's this pain in the. I'm just trying to recollect, you know, what experiences I had. Oh, this pain is happening, right? Oh, maybe I'm not this body, but that's something which is feeling that pain, you know, that something, the mind which feels and which perceives it as pain, right? Oh, there's this unpleasant feeling and there's perception that this is pain. Oh, I'm the mind, maybe I'm the mind, you know? And then you start contemplating and then you think, oh, but just yesterday when I was in meditation for 5 hours, there was pain and there was no pain. But I was sitting in the same posture, you know. Oh, so this is also changing, you know. And a couple of days ago I had such a great experience that there was pleasure. There was such great pleasure, almost bliss, you know. So the condition is the same, sitting in meditation, and sometimes I'm feeling pain, sometimes I'm feeling pleasure, and then this pain changes from being very painful to very little pain, and then this pleasure, sometimes it is this much, sometimes it is almost bliss, you know. This is something that is sometimes this, sometimes that. How can I be that fixed, unchanging individual? How can I be that which is changing, right? So maybe I'm not the mind. No, you are the mind. You're feeling it, right? Whether it is this or that. You are the one who feels happiness, you are the one who feels sorrow, right? You are mind, you know, you're mind. And then you start thinking, contemplating. Oh, but you know, when I had that experience of happiness, I tried so hard to make it last, but I couldn't do it. That happiness changed. It didn't last forever, you know. Oh, there was that sorrowful experience that which I really disliked. I just wanted to go away. And I couldn't let it go, I couldn't make it go away. If I was that mind who feels, then I should have unchallenged, unchallengeable control over it. If I'm the mind, then I want to feel what I want to feel, right? You know, there was this cricket match I played in 110 degree weather, and I was so miserable, you know. I was feeling so hot and dehydrated, you know. If I was the mind, could I have changed that feeling? Whether it is heat or cold, could I just feel what I feel, you know? Oh, this day in the winter was so cold, and I forgot to wear my socks because I was in a hurry and my feet were just so cold. Could I have felt warm when it was cold? You know, could I have felt cold when it was 110 degrees, you know? No way, Jose. You can't feel what you want to feel. Feeling feels. It is also conditional. Oh, that I am not the mind. Who am I? Contemplation continues, right? I must be the one who's experiencing the mind and the body. Bang, yes, I got it, you know. Oh, I'm the one that is having the experience of the body and the mind. I know I'm not the body, I know I'm not the mind, but that which is experiencing it, yes, I am consciousness. who I am that which experiences. I am that which has cognized that this is body, that this is mind. I am that which cognizes. I am that which experiences. I am that which observes. Right? I am the consciousness. If you don't have enough degree of equanimity, you'll probably say, I got it. And you'll be done with it. And most likely, you'll be done with it during that meditation, you know. But as you continue your practice, sooner than later, you'll realize that, you know, even the experiences are changing, you know. If I'm the experiencer, the one that experiences, then that should be then I should have unchallengeable control over the experiences, right? I should be able to experience what I want to experience in what way I want to experience, right? I don't like pain, I don't like sorrow. I don't want to experience those things. Can I do that? Right? If there are certain conditions of body and mind, I will experience pain. The experience of pain will be there. Oh, even the experiences are conditional, not fixed, changing, beyond control, driven by the conditions of body and mind. Right? Maybe I'm not the experience. I'm not the experiencer. Maybe I'm not the consciousness. So if you reach that level, then you have entered the stream of enlightenment. That you, when you start really contemplating seriously on the possibility that I'm not even consciousness, then you have entered the stream. And so the contemplation continues, and this is hard. I can't even recall exactly how it laid, how the contemplation laid. Because the consciousness is so intimate. I mean, it's like, it is so experiential, so intimate, that it's hard to not think that you are that you are consciousness, you know. You know, I'm looking at this world, right? Experiencing. When I'm looking at something, it's hard to think that I'm not looking, but the EYE, I consciousness is looking, you know. Maybe I'm not the seer. It's the EYE, I consciousness that is seeing. Is it possible? You see, contemplation. Hearing. Maybe I'm not the hearer. It's the ear consciousness that is hearing. Is it possible? You know? Maybe I'm not smelling. It's the smell consciousness that is smelling. So on and so forth. Maybe even consciousness is not fixed or one single entity, but there are various types of consciousness that arise and cease, giving rise to an experience. Can I experience smell through my eyes? No, I can't, right? Can I experience taste through my ears? Can I? No, I can't, right? So that experience of taste versus the experience of hearing, there is a distinct consciousness that is giving rise to that experience. A taste consciousness gives rise to the experience of only taste. Ear consciousness gives rise to the experience of only hearing. In other words, consciousness is not one thing, like I have been told, some universal consciousness, some Brahman, you know, it's one single underlying entity, unchanging, some father consciousness or some universal mother consciousness. Maybe it is not such a thing. There is no universal consciousness or absolute consciousness. Because there are these distinct consciousnesses, it's not one thing. And contemplating. And looking at every single experience you have, and noticing that behind every single experience, there is a unique, distinct consciousness. Not the same consciousness. Just like the ear consciousness doesn't have the capacity to taste, right? And then your study comes to rescue, although it's not impossible to really experience it all in one sitting, but then your study of consciousness from past teachers will come to rescue, and then you try to contemplate on that and look at different experiences and see how different consciousness, types of consciousness, give rise to different types of experiences. And realize, you know, there are possibly 121 types of different consciousness that interact with matter and mind and give rise to these variety of experiences. So all these different types of consciousness, not one single universal mother consciousness. Even consciousness is changeable, not fixed. So I'm not the consciousness. Right? Who am I? The contemplation continues, and all of a sudden this insight will arise. Oh, you know what? I've been asking the wrong question all along. When I asked this question, who am I was assuming that there is some I which can be found, right? Who am I? So there is an underlying assumption that there is an I, and I just need to find who that is, right? Oh, you know what? The question itself is wrong. Maybe I should ask the question, what am I? You know, what am I? And the contemplation continues. And then there are stages where you will realize, even this question doesn't look like the right question. Maybe I should ask the question, what is I? You know. So that's the journey, you know. But one thing I must emphasize is that I think there are enough teachings out there, and there is enough understanding out there to know that I'm not this body, I'm not this mind. But there is a lot of challenge when it comes to realize that I am not consciousness. A lot of challenge. Only rarest of the rare sages manage to overcome that trap and even transcend consciousness. And so, as we continue this series to understand the answer to the question, who am I, obviously we'll move on to the question, what am I and what is I. But the only way to get the answer is to thoroughly explore consciousness to the extent that absolutely nothing remains to be discovered or overlooked, so that you don't leave any trace and cling to the idea that I am consciousness, or to the idea I am observer, or to the idea I am, or to the idea I am that, or to the idea I am Brahman, whatever, you know. And so the next discourse will be on, so to understand who am I or what am I, we have to understand what is consciousness, right? And that's what we'll focus on in the next discourse.